Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, welcome to the Redmen News YouTube channel. I'm Chris Pajak, and today I'm joined by Jack Gill to round up the latest Liverpool news. It's been ages since I've done one of these. I've kind of just realised, I reckon it's been 3 weeks or something. Blame the kids. But it's nice to be back. I see you, Stephen. I see you, Linda. I see you, Rob D. And I see you, Ellie Anthony. Thank you very much for joining us live. So we've got a few things that we want to talk about. But before we talk about anything else, me and Jack are going to discuss the Premier League clubs face repaying a mammoth fee to broadcasters, even if the season is finished. So Premier League clubs are now bracing themselves to have to pay back £340 million in TV cash because the matches are not taking place as expected. This is the mirror.co.uk article, Jack. Mate, I mean, that's a scary figure, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely mad. I think a lot of people are obviously commenting on the fact that football being rushed, is it being rushed back too quickly? Is it all coming back down? Is it due to money? But it shows here that even if football comes back, it's going to cost clubs and obviously leagues a lot of cash still. And I think it shows that, you know, this is going to hit a lot of people financially, a lot of businesses financially, and football clubs are definitely going to be very strongly hit as well, no matter what happens. And, you know, it's obviously, you'd think as well that obviously these television companies would do better with more games being on television and less fans in stadiums and stuff like that. So, you know, it is quite a mad figure, really.
It is when you think about it, because I'm the same as you. On the surface, you're looking and go, hang on a minute. Well, let's say BT Sport, they showed every single game, but then equally, you don't know what the viewing figures are like, and it's not the product that they signed up to. You know, they wanted to, and we've been saying it for years as fans, that, you know, football without fans is nothing, and it shows to me that the television companies, BT, Sky, and everyone else probably think exactly the same, Jack. Is they're looking at it and going, is this the same product? Because that's what the Premier League is to these people. Are we selling the same product as what we normally get? On top of that, the clubs are going to be set to pay a huge bill of up to £750,000 each for extra stewarding at games if they are played in their own stadiums. Now, every football club will want that. But, you know, Liverpool, your Manchester United, your Manchester Cities, etc., they're probably going to be all right. But you think of the likes of, like, your Burnleys, your Bournemouths, your Brightons and all that. And that would probably be a massive amount to a team like that. But it's money that they're going to have to spend, isn't it, Jack? It's money that they'll want the advantage of playing in their own stadium if it is empty, if it is an advantage, whatever. Because a lot of these teams will be fighting for relegation, trying to get out of the relegation zone. I'm not surprised. Are you surprised that Sky and BT are looking to renegotiate this deal? Because ultimately, if you can get it to be a little bit cheaper, then why wouldn't you?
Absolutely not. I'm not surprised at all. It's Sky at the end of the day, isn't it? So, you know, I think it doesn't really surprise me. A massive media company, as I say, everyone's been hit by this. So they're going to want to do everything they can to try and recuperate any kind of money. But at the same time, I think there is something where a deal can be struck. As I said before, there's going to be obviously a lot more football for these companies to show. And, you know, with Amazon lurking and stuff like that, it might be a good time to say, you know what, maybe now sign a new deal for the next few years, keep it with Sky and BT. There's probably some kind of deal in the works and that they're wanting to do to ensure that this isn't the case. Because I think if this is the case and this is how much money each club has to pay back and stuff like that, I think we're going to lose an awful lot of clubs. And, you know, I think Bournemouth's a big one for me because obviously we know financially They're obviously one of the smallest clubs in the Premier League in terms of that. And obviously they're in danger of going down this season. And with this as well, with all the coronavirus stuff, how deeply affected could they end up? Could it be a case where there is no Bournemouth Football Club in a few years' time? So, you know, losing some clubs over this, and it is quite worrying, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope you're wrong. I hope we don't see any teams lost and stuff like that. I mean, the figure that we're quoting, you know, is it 340 million? I think it is. That's like half, give or take, of what originally they'd look to be spending or giving back to them. I mean, the figure is something like 762 million quid for the rest of the year's contract. So that's at stake. Obviously, the Premier League are now in discussions with the right holders. And it seems to be like this is the deal that they've kind of done with them. Just want to go a little shout out to the people who are watching on Periscope. Tom Brooks, I see you, mate. I've never actually seen anyone watching this on Periscope before, so that's cool. Thank you very much. Even if the games go ahead, it is no longer what TV companies signed up for, and the 340 million is a compromise figure, with the Premier League also facing up to the prospect of working out with Sky and BT to see if they can offset the amount. So yeah, as I say, it's just a mad thing, isn't it? Just this whole situation. And listen, hopefully it all gets sorted. Hopefully the league goes ahead. Obviously, we want to see Liverpool play. But will it be the product? That's what it kind of says to me, Jack. Are we going to see the same Premier League as what we started?
This is the thing, and I've had numerous arguments with family members over this, because there's nothing else to talk about, really. But, you know, you talk about what's going to happen, is football coming back too soon and stuff like this. And you think about actually in the Bundesliga, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're still not able to tackle in training and certain rules like that. And they're going into their first game this weekend. And how much more difficult must it be to coach, you know, defending and stuff like that if you can't tackle? Will it be that there's actually more red cards in the game because, you know, players aren't tackling as regularly? So,
or looking when they're tackling, apparently.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. But I think the brilliant thing is that we're not the first league that's going to be going ahead. We've got the Bundesliga to keep an eye on and to see what happens there, what develops there, how they deal with certain things, and ultimately what it is. And you know, we've always seen that the Bundesliga's defending has been a bit suspect at times. But it'll be interesting to see tomorrow, and I'm sure TV companies will have two eyes on the figures that it brings in terms of viewers and stuff. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting, but I do think the Premier League will come back as long as everything's safe in the next few weeks and months.
Before we leave this article, Mirror Sports also understands there's a new confidence that on the back of Wednesday's meetings with players and managers, the season will go ahead next month, although the restart date is likely to be pushed back to June the 19th at the earliest. As long as it starts again, mate, that's all we want as Liverpool fans, isn't it? That's the main thing. Do you think it will start that early, or do you think it might get pushed back again? Because right now it feels like, I don't know, mate. It feels to me like the deaths that are going up in England, it still feels a little bit too soon to me, to be honest with you.
That's the thing, and that's what I think a lot of people have spoke about. It does feel too soon, but it also felt too soon for people to go back to work on Wednesday and stuff like that. And I think the thing is, personally, I feel like that date will be pushed back. I can't see it being that it'll be June the 19th. I think that is slightly too early. But you can see from everything else going on around England right now that actually they are keen to get it happening as soon as possible, and they are keen for some form of normality sooner rather than later. I do feel as though it will get pushed back again. I mean, I think we're a few weeks behind Spain, Italy, Germany, all of them. So I do think those leagues will be back before ours. But as I say, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because we can see what develops and what happens before rushing it back. It's also more difficult here because I think we were kind of embarrassing with how we dealt with the situation in the first place from a footballing perspective I'm talking about here, because, you know, the fact that those games were still going to go ahead the weekend it was halted before Mikel Arteta and Callum Hudson-Odoi obviously came down with it. I think that's a bit ridiculous at the end of the day. So,
go on.
I think it will be something that they're much more careful of now.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the big thing for me is, look, I know obviously a lot of people went back to work on Wednesday. I'm not going to make this a politics show today. If you want to hear my views on the politics, then get over to the Making Page Act. This is going to be about footy. But I think what I've seen this week in London is that you know, a lot of people are going back to work and they're having to use public transport. You know, I think we'll have all seen the videos of people on the tubes and on buses and stuff. And it's a concern for me that could cause a spike in 2 to 3 weeks' time. And then, you know, that puts us on, well, the beginning of June. And if there's a big spike then, what happens? And I think if the Premier League is going to go ahead, then we're going to have to see if it A, first does spike, and B, what type of controls and measures are in place.
I think absolutely, Chris. I agree with what you're saying. And I think a similar thing happened in Germany. I think their R rate went back above one, but it was how they dealt with it after that. And obviously it came back down. So, you know, I think, as you say, a bit wary of talking too much about politics, but you know, it's one of them situations where we're just going to have to wait and see, really. That's all we can do right now.
One thing I do sort of hate about all of this is the fact that, like, you know, people are starting to say that football fans would mass gather outside grounds and stuff like that, and that was one of the reasons that they wanted to push for neutral venues. I've not really spoken about that. But as a Liverpool fan, I feel that, you know, I'm putting me, you know, I love Liverpool Football Club to me bones, but I'm not willing to put my family at risk for that. And so personally, if I'm told that it's not safe for me to gather outside the ground, then I don't think I'm going to be gathering outside the ground. And I hate the fact that, like, you know, football fans are just assumed that they're different to the rest of the population and will flaunt the rules. And I don't feel like I'm one of those people. Does me head in.
Absolutely not. I'm obviously, and you are, as Liverpool supporters right now, we're resigned that, you know, when we win the league, however it will be, it won't be the same as we planned for it to be. And you know, I think, as you say, everyone knows that health and lives are more important than football. Everyone knows that. Bill Shankly once said that obviously nothing's more important than football, but, you know, at times it is. And we've seen this situation and you know, I think it's one of them where, certainly, it does anger me, Chris, where you see stuff like that and you see that sort of thing being speculated, because at the end of the day, it's not going to be like that. And you know, there are people in power that can obviously prevent the odd person, that if that does happen, it would only be an odd person. And there are obviously people that can prevent that.
It's got a couple of people asking in the comments section, actually maybe one. Kay Brennan said, where did Chris Pajak say to go and get his views? Me and Paul do a podcast called the Matex Pajak podcast. So it's youtube.com/MatexPajak. We do a lot about politics and stuff on there, certainly over the last few weeks. So if you want to go out, we've got a new podcast coming out at 5 o'clock today. We're going to move on to the next story anyway, and that is Milot Rashica, if that's how you pronounce his name. Liverpool have been interested, apparently, in Milot Rashica, although it's the first I've heard. The first I've heard is that we're not interested in him, and that's the news story today. And I'm kind of glad, to be honest, because I don't know much about him, first and foremost. But secondly, the fact that Villa, Brighton, West Ham and Wolves are interested says that it's not Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, Manchester United and all that. So when I see teams like that, I'm like, nah, Liverpool aren't interested. We get linked with the big players and the big teams. Do you know anything about him? And are you happy that he's not linked with Liverpool after being linked with Brighton?
He's done well in the Bundesliga.
Of course you'd know about him, Mike.
And it's someone that, you know, you do need to keep an eye on. But, you know, it's as you say, I don't think he's anywhere near our level just yet. And I don't think we were probably ever interested in this lad. It wouldn't surprise me if he is well sought after, though. And the clubs interested are the sort of clubs that you'd assume would be interested at this point. But yeah, it'll be interesting. It's someone for more people to watch during the next few weeks of Bundesliga football. It's someone else to keep an eye on and talk about. So yeah.
And by all accounts, you know, he plays in the same position as Takumi Minamino, similar profile as well. Obviously, we've signed Minamino. We've not really seen the best of him anyway. So I can't imagine that Klopp will be looking to add to a squad in that position without Minamino getting up and running and starting to really perform as a Liverpool player. On to the next news story then, Jack. Liverpool board FSG's stance on Pep Linders replacing Jurgen Klopp over Steven Gerrard. Now, this was published in theexpress.co.uk. Now, it's not really their stance. Having read the article, it doesn't seem to be their stance in any way, shape or form. In fact, it seems to be Kevin Phillips has said they should go for Jurgen Klopp because assistant managers stay assistant managers. Now, it's too early. I mean, we don't even know when the footy's going to start again to even be talking about when Klopp leaves. But you know, I think as a Liverpool fan, everybody wants to see Steven Gerrard one day manage the football club, Jack, but he's got to go out there and he's got to prove it first and foremost that he's a good manager. Because if he's not a good manager in a few years' time, then his name won't be even be in the hat just because of his name.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is with Steven Gerrard, obviously club legend, and as you say, every Liverpool supporter probably wants him to manage Liverpool one day. Certainly I do. But, you know, you have to look at it and what's he done as a manager so far. He hasn't really done anything. And you know, I think Rangers have obviously finished second in the league for a couple of years, which is where, you know, their standard anyway. He's done really well in Europe, very, very well for them in Europe, actually. But, you know, he hasn't won anything with them yet. And you know, obviously he's always going to get these links to Liverpool. And I think it will probably intensify. And he certainly will probably be interviewed when Klopp does leave. But you have to get the timing right. You know, you need to get the timing right with this. And Gerrard won't want to come to Liverpool and manage it too soon as well. He'll probably know that he'll always have the opportunity. There will always be the opportunity for Gerrard to come and manage us in the near future, and he won't need to rush it. And you know, I do think that Pep Linders would be a terrific replacement for when Klopp goes personally, but you know, let Kevin Phillips say what he wants.
Listen, we could be going back to the boot room style type of thing, couldn't we, where the manager comes from within and all that type of stuff. But equally, I don't really want a manager learning on the job at Liverpool Football Club anymore. I think we've now got to a point where we don't need that. We can go and attract the biggest and best names in football. Now, right now, that Jurgen Klopp, in 2024, when his contract's up, Linders might have left. Linders might have gone on, had a terrible managerial career or a brilliant managerial career. Steven Gerrard might have gone well or gone badly. And somebody else might be coming up through the ranks and being seen as the next big thing or the best manager in the world. And so why would you ever make a decision today in 2020 about who's going to manage it in 2024? It's downright balmy. So much can change.
It is madness. I think the thing is, for me, the reason I see Pep Linders as a perfect replacement is because I think, you know, Klopp's done a Shank-like job with his team. You know, he's brought us back up. He's made us the club we are today. You know, we're the best club in the world right now. And Pep Linders is the brains. He's a brilliant tactician. And you know, I think he'd be able to step in and win a lot more stuff just like Paisley did. But as you say, and as Kevin Phillips refers to, you know, you've got these assistant managers that quite often want to stay assistant managers and won't be as good in the manager role. So you never know. It may be something where Gerrard can come in with Pep Linders still as the assistant, and that may be a genuine possibility too. But as you say, that's 4 years away yet. Yeah, just focus on what we got now, and what we do have now is a fantastic squad and a world-class manager, the best manager in the world and the best squad in the world. So
absolutely. Absolutely, mate. So we'll move on then. Brazilian TV show confirms Liverpool transfer news as Reds go for wing forward with mega potential. I like that headline. And they're actually talking about Vasco da Gama striker Tales Magno. And it was said on the Bandeirantes TV show Bonos de la Bola in the player's homeland that Liverpool are interested in signing the 18-year-old. Now, the journalist, I am told, explains how Vasco are in a perilous financial situation, and as a result, we'll have to sell Magno much more quickly than they'd have planned on initially. Plays in a 4-3-3, he's tall, quick, skillful, and you can watch his best bit on YouTube, obviously. I know nothing about him. Do you?
No.
No, it's acceptable.
No, I don't. And the thing is, I think you know, he fits the mold. It's a name that I'd struggle to pronounce. I'd probably butcher and get told off a lot in the comments. And, you know, we've seen before with players like Alan D'Souza. You know, I think obviously we all know what happened with him. He played with tons of potential, but struggled to get the work permit and kept going out on loans and stuff like that. And I worry that this is a player that would go for a similar thing if we were to sign him. So, you know, we often see links like this to players from South America and stuff like this, and a lot of them never materialise. So it will be interesting to keep an eye on him. And obviously, if anything does happen, then I'll try and learn more about him.
Okay, well, let's get into some of the comments then. Tom's kindly collected a few of the comments as we've been going along. But if you've got anything to say, of course, about any of the stories, then leave your comment in now, and hopefully we'll be able to get to them before we wrap up today's show. So on the first news article, the Premier League paying a huge £340 million figure back to the television companies. Stephen Somerville said that's what these TV companies want. They only care about the money and too worried about their businesses going up in smoke. Robert Schrader says, if the Prem cancel the TV deal and shop it around, I bet some streaming companies like Amazon will pay through their nose for the right. They might even pay to break the existing deal. Let's go start with that one, the Robert Schrader one. There'll be no way that the Prem can break that deal. No way. Not without paying a huge figure.
That's the thing. Absolutely not at this point in time. The thing is that Sky do have to be careful of is the relationships, because, you know, obviously we've seen over the years Sky monopolised the Premier League, and over the years we've started to see people come in. So you're talking Santana Sports, ESPN, now Key Sport, of course. And, you know, we've experienced ourselves firsthand this year. Amazon are starting to come through. We're starting to see more demand for football. And you know, I think with what's going to happen in the next few weeks and months, and we're going to start seeing probably every game on television until fans are allowed back in the grounds, will companies like Amazon, Facebook, YouTube jump on that and you know, try and make it an opportunity to be able to do that on a long-term basis? And, you know, I think Sky probably aren't in a position where they can give out loads of demands in case they need to keep that relationship in case something like that is to happen. Because as I've mentioned so many times before, the world is going to change in so many ways after all of this, and we're going to go through a lot of different chopping and changing, and, you know, football is one of them things that are going to change too. So we need to make sure that it is for the better. And if companies like Sky are going to kick off over stuff like this, then maybe they're one of the first things to go, and we move on from that as a sport.
You know, the mad thing for me on this television stuff, and it's probably not really related to the article in any way, shape or form, but when you think of, like, monopolies, as in, like, companies who have a monopoly, not the game, although that's fantastic, well worth it, especially in this lockdown thing, if you want to get in a bit of an argument with your family, monopoly is the absolute game for that. But monopolies is, like, or the breakup of monopolies is supposed to give the customer, and in this case, we are customers because we buy these TV deals to Sky and BT and stuff, it's supposed to give you a better price. And this is the one instance in the world where it doesn't give you anything. You just end up paying more for the same product, because if Sky just had all of the Premier League, we'd probably be financially in a much better position. Now, they may put the prices up, but not to the point where you're spending £25 on BT, nearly £100 on your Sky, then you've got to have Amazon Prime, then Facebook are going to charge you for something, whether it's fucking stealing your data or, you know, the pay-per-views. You've got Now TV, you've got all this. And but to get it all, you're just paying so much money. So I'd, like, almost rather just one person have the fucking rights to the Premier League, to be honest with you. I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it will probably be something that's explored in the near future. And, you know,
The Premier League will have their own. They've got it everywhere else. They've got that Premier League pass where, you know, I buy the NFL one. It costs me £120 a year and I get every NFL game. Now, they just don't have the rights in England, but they should do.
It's like the EFL, they've bought in iFollow, so I think it is very soon. And, you know, that's probably something that Sky really aren't looking forward to. And right now, listen, as I said before, there's so many problems and businesses are obviously losing loads of money during all this. But you'd think companies like Sky would be able to cope and need to support these football clubs and these leagues right now. But, you know, it's one of them situations. These figures might not be true. We don't know at the minute. There's so much speculation. There's so much things coming in that we just aren't sure of right now. So it'll be interesting to see what does happen and what develops in the next few weeks and months.
Okay, Tom asked in the comments, Linders versus Gerrard and why? And Mo Dilbar, YNWA, said Linders is the right man for the job, having learned from Klopp. Linda Stanley said Linders, obviously a new boot room. Stephen Somerville again, Gerrard for me is the manager to replace Klopp when he leaves, but I think Gerrard needs more time away from Liverpool to get the management experience he needs. Kate Brennan, I watched Gerrard in some post-match interview. He's too critical of players, total opposite to Klopp. Gerrard sounds old school. Players these days, they need an arm around their shoulder. And Ellie Anthony Jamar. I'm so sorry. What about Nagelsmann? Nagelsmann's an interesting show. Let's go back to the Kay Brennan one about him being too critical of players, total opposite to Klopp, Gerrard too old school. I mean, I get that, but equally, Gerrard just reminds me of Kenny Dalglish in the way that he deals with the media, and I can't imagine it's anything more than a media persona. I could be wrong on that, of course, Jack, but, you know, again, this is all about what type of manager is Gerrard, and Stephen Gerrard, the man who manages Rangers right now, wouldn't be the Stephen Gerrard who manages Rangers or Liverpool or whoever in 2024, would he?
Exactly. It'd have to develop. It's interesting. Gerrard as a manager reminds me of a lot of different things. I think how he plays in Europe as a system as well is so similar to Rafa Benitez. You know, I think it's one of those situations where, as you say, he is going to have to develop. He really is. And I think right now, if something was to happen and Klopp was to leave right now, which God forbid he does, I think you'd want Pep Linders because, as we say, Gerrard isn't made yet. He's not the final package. He's not ready for a job like this. But if you're asking the question in 4 years' time, may he have developed, may he have had different jobs, may he have won things, absolutely. And it may be that when it comes to it and Klopp's contract is up, Gerrard is in the perfect. He's absolutely ready for this job, and you just never know. So it will be interesting to see. Obviously, I think it's intensified by seeing that Frank Lampard's obviously gone to Chelsea this year, and he's done a pretty all right job, if we're honest.
Go on, last one then. Tom, I'm assuming it's Tom Dutton, has said, is Pep Linders more ready than Gerrard? And I think I'll start with my answer, mate. I don't know that he is. You know, obviously he managed NEC, he had a torrid time of it over there. But he's also the man that when he took over the number two role from Buvac, that we kicked on and started to change our style of play, started to win more games. We've been absolutely incredible since he took that number two role. So it's a difficult question to answer because Linders hasn't been a manager. I mean, you might see more of him in press conferences. Obviously, we saw him in presses earlier on in the season. He was brilliant to listen to. He was really articulate, loved. He got his passion across. You could tell he understood what he was saying. The players and everybody else in the coaching staff seemed to really enjoy him being around, and we've got good results. Is he more ready? I've no idea, is the honest answer. What about yourself, mate?
Yeah, I think it is interesting when you put it like that, because obviously, as I said before, right now, I very quickly say Linders, but as Kevin Phillips alludes to, you don't know how an assistant is going to do in the managerial job, and his experience as obviously a manager isn't the best. But you know, maybe just someone that obviously I trust because I know how good he does for us right now, and it may be that obviously I don't want Gerrard to come here and flop when I know that in a few years he may be more ready, and it may be better for him and for a club legend to do that. I really like the shout of Nagelsmann. He's a manager, a coach that I really admire, and obviously we've seen him go to Leipzig this year and do brilliant things with Timo Werner as well. So you know, I think Nagelsmann's an interesting shout, but by 2024, another big club would have snapped.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, it kind of comes back to it. It's all pointless. It's completely pointless talking about who's ready now for 2024, because what if football changes? What if something comes in that's the new tick-attacker that dominates for a few years next season? And then all the managers or the coaches that we're talking about are a step behind what we want. You know, it's just, I hate to say it, but we've wasted everybody's time. And on that bombshell, I'm going to thank you all for watching. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to Redmen TV, obviously. But before you go, we're doing a live watch along tonight, 7:30, being Liverpool, with James Sutton, of course, because he's a regular now. And we've also got Jay Spearing, and it's the episode where Ian Eyre rides the Harley. And so we can't wait. And I've really enjoyed that. I've enjoyed having a drink on a Friday night with my mate and watching a little bit of Shite TV. And I hope you come over and join us as well. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.